really want to start the night out when we get in here, Andrea, with the Blackhawks win.
Yeah, I know. But we were listening in the car on the way in, and we were like, oh.
I know. I was like, oh, man.
I told Chris Bone it was a collective,
oh. All right. It's all right. We're doing well. It's a good season.
It's early.
It's early.
Way early.
Super early.
Yes.
The earliest. We were on the Kennedy. Andrea and I went to the Writers Theater of Glencoe. The Writers Theater. And saw Witch, the world premiere. We want to say hi to all the winners of the contest to come out and meet us and hang out before the show.
Yes, it was a pleasure to meet everybody.
It was such a great show.
And that theater is one of the most beautiful, I don't even want to say, like, I would say off-Broadway kind of theater. It was remarkable, designed by Gene Gang. And I know we're going to talk about it. I don't know
if we're
talking about it now. But I
told Sean to hang on 1 minute. I just want to catch up for a minute. Thank you, Sean.
I just thought, having never had been there, I thought it was spectacular. There's four theaters housed within the building. Mm-hmm. It's modern. It's beautiful. It's just a gorgeous structure to look at. And I was so impressed with the theaters on the inside.
Oh, it was gorgeous. And of course, I was reminiscing because it's built on the property. They tore down the building that was formerly the Glencoe Women's Library Club, where I had my wedding reception 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was telling you and our guests from WGN Radio that if I really cared that much, I would have visited probably once, at least in the last 18 years.
Yes.
I wouldn't have found out, like, wait a minute, I recognize this property.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. We'll talk a little bit more about that and the production itself, because it was spectacular. Mm-hmm. An interesting day as my husband, by the way, before I bring our guest on, or maybe I'll introduce Sean Callahan, who joins us and wants to talk about voting numbers and hoping that people will get involved and exercise their civic duty, I think is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
But Sean, I know you want to talk about a little bit of the news today, because my husband begged me not to talk about Kanye West. Oh, I said it. Hi, Sean.
I think everyone's talking about Kanye West today.
I just don't know what to tell anybody anymore, because this is really, everything just feels like it's gone sideways. I know that you're a content marketer at LinkedIn, is that right?
Yep, I'm at I work at LinkedIn in the marketing role, and I also just wrote a book for children called Voting with a Porpoise.
Yes,
it's about elections and teaching your children about making their voice heard.
I think it's awesome, because my goddaughter, Sean, is she's now six, but at the time they were five. Oh no, so 2016, so 2 years ago. She would have been five, because she's turning seven. So 5 years old, she's in her kindergarten class, and I was explaining to her about Hillary Clinton. And I said, now, she's the first woman running for president. And Chloe, I'm not kidding you, said to me, oh, I voted for her.
Aww.
And I said, oh. And she said in school that, you know, that they were trying to explain in their pre-K class that, you know, how you vote and stuff. And then she said, yeah, I voted for her. So they all they raised their hands as to who they'd vote for. But I thought it's so awesome that she's so young and they're explaining the process to them.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I think, like, every school in the country should be doing something like that, especially for the young kids. I mean, because of the voting numbers are pretty weak for young people coming out to the polls. There's in 2016, the election of Trump versus Clinton, just 46.1% of Americans aged 18 to 29 voted. And compare that, though, to people over 65, and it's about 71%. So I think people in their 20s are really not using their voice to participate in the decisions we're making as a country.
And we were talking to the spokesperson for the Board of Elections, and he was saying, our friend Jim
Allen, yeah.
He was saying that if a block of voters don't show up, then why would the politicians, why would any of the candidates even pay attention to that demographic at all going forward?
No, I think that's absolutely true. And I think a lot of people are discouraged that their voices aren't being heard. And one way to do it is to go to the polls. If you show up to the polls and you make that, you're going to make that politician work for you instead of just working for the donors. I think politicians understand that getting elected is their first part of what they're trying to do. And if they're going to pay attention to who got them elected, whether that's their donors, which seems to be the case now, or the people who actually go to the polls. And if we as a people go to the polls more, I think politicians will pay more attention to us.
Sean, your co-author is Rock the Vote board member Russell Glass. And when I was reading about you and Russell, I remember Rock the Vote. I remember when I was a teenager, it was this big campaign on MTV, and it was Rock the Vote, and you had Aerosmith, and you had, you know, Motley Crue, everybody out there saying, vote, vote, vote. And when I was, you know, that was, you know, the late 90s, and I thought, I can't wait to vote. You know, there was just such a push. So what happened between, I guess, now and the millennials who, you know, the statue giver are crazy, like 76 million Americans are eligible to vote but didn't register for the 2016 election. So what happened to the millennials and their enthusiasm for voting?
I wish we knew the answer to that. I know Rock the Vote is looking into it. Russ is looking into it. I think they feel like their vote doesn't matter. And that's sad. And I think that we can change that. I think the culture around voting really has to change. People have to understand that if they do go out and vote as a block, that the people in Washington, the people in Springfield, the people in City Hall here in Chicago will pay more attention to their needs if they realize that people are out there making, you know, are going to the polls and making their voice heard. And it's a cultural thing that has really become, I think, kind of dire, that we're not voting. We don't think it matters, and it needs to change. And one of the ways that we're trying to change it is with trying to make a little dent with this children's book, Voting with a Porpoise, where, you know, we're hoping that teachers and parents will be reading it to their kids and instilling the idea of voting much earlier than I think we have in the past.
I agree.
And another thing.
Right. Go ahead.
I mean, I think it's interesting. You know, when you turn 16 in this country, you know, you go out that day and you get your driver's license.
Right.
When you turn 21, you go out and you have your first beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to get something going where when you turn 18, you go and register to vote. It may not be as sexy as those other two things, but it's probably more important.
I heard, too, that a lot of millennials, and I understand this, they don't identify with the Democratic Party, they don't identify with the Republican Party, and right now, that's really all that's out there.
Those are the choices.
Yeah, you can try to be green, try to be independent, but realistically, right now, that's really not an option.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's just the way our political system has evolved, that there's essentially two choices, right? The left and the right, the Democrats and the Republicans. And I think, and I know when I was 18, I really wanted to, you know, vote for a pure candidate, somebody who was going to do exactly what I wanted them to do and be idealistic and all those things. But it's very, I think we have to make a choice between what's out there right now and opting out is just as much making a choice. You know what I mean?
It is.
You need to, and you need to just pick a side that most represents your point of view, even if it's not as pure a point of view as you would like. I think we have to begin to move in the right direction, make choices that way.
Well, that's the thing. I actually was just Googling as you guys were talking for a moment. I know that there are some websites, if people aren't quite sure who the right candidate is for them, you know, if they're just fed up with the Democrats and the Republicans, there are some websites that kind of give you a questionnaire. They ask you where you stand on certain things. Let's say it's reproductive rights or climate or taxes and things like that, that kind of help you figure out which candidates, maybe which party you're more. I mean, because it almost feels like some people need a do-over as far as where they stand politically, don't you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of people get really solidified in it's become like a almost covered like sports, and it's become like no matter what the Republicans do, I'm going to root for them and back them, sort of just like you root for the Bears or the Cubs or the White Sox. Same on the Democratic side. And we're not really talking about solving problems. We're just talking about winning the news cycle or winning the election, and it's focused much less on getting things done that help a broad swath of Americans I think that's the problem.
I love the title, Voting with the Porpoise. What made you decide to use animals to tell the story, Sean?
Mammals in particular.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool.
Well, you know, Russ came to me with this idea of let's tell a story with animals that will get kids excited. Animals, he said, let's put it in a jungle and say that they have to decide like how to, they're running out of water and they have to figure out where to go. And I always liked the ocean. So I said, well, why don't we move it to the ocean? We can have a pod of dolphins and maybe we call it we have the title Voting with a Porpoise. And we went from there. And we also had this amazing illustrator that I'd worked with before, Daniel Howarth, who I knew could draw the dolphins and the porpoise. So that's why we went with that. And I think, you know, every kid loves dolphins and porpoises. It's they're just a fantastic animal.
I don't think I've ever told you this, Andrea. My son, who's 15, wrote a book. It's 152 pages, but it's about dolphins having this sort of civilization that we didn't realize was being created in the depths of the ocean. And
oh, wow.
And then they start to attack humans because humans are destroying the ecosystem that they live in, like in about 100 years. So I think that Griffin, even though he's 15, would love to read your book because he's very politically minded as well. And I think part of that came from, I grew up, Sean, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a household where it was like voting was an event for us.
Yeah, even I would pick up my dad when I moved out and we'd go have coffee. I'd take him to vote, I'd vote, and then we'd go have coffee.
Yeah.
It was like a thing.
I have taken my son to vote in every single election I have voted in since he was in a car seat. Go ahead.
That's fantastic. I think more people should be doing that. It's not like it's some sort of drudgery. Bring the kids. Show them that it's not this great mystery, that everyone's there. There's coffee sometimes. There's donuts there. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
And you get a sticker when you're done.
Right?
Sometimes.
And that, you know, and that's kind of cool, too. That's the trend now. Put it on Instagram.
Yes.
You know, I voted either the bracelet or the sticker.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of cool.
I love that. Sean, can you hold on for a moment? I want to talk about today's news and what it means to have such big name celebrities on either side and if that's going to really shake things up for young folks when it comes to showing up for the midterm elections. We're talking to Sean Callahan. Do you have some social media you would like people to follow you on?
We have at Books with a Porpoise on Instagram.
Porpoise. It's not an accent. It's a spelling.
Porpoise. Exactly.
With porpoise.
Just like curly.
Exactly. There you go. Give us a call if you have a question or comment for our guest, Sean Callahan. 312-981-7200. Do you remember how your parents approached voting? Did they talk to you about it? Did you make it an event in your household? 312-981-7200. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and we are joined by our guest on the phone, Sean Callahan, who is a content marketer at LinkedIn and has written several books, including The Leprechaun Who Lost His Rainbow, A Wild Father's Day, and has now co-authored the book Voting with a Porpoise. And I love the fact that you want to encourage people to vote. As Andrea mentioned, I remember Rock the Vote just really bringing people out. Those bus tours invigorated people, and we don't seem to have anything right now, even through social media, that is inspiring people. And then this week, Taylor Swift came out. She has 112 million followers on social media. Do you think someone like Taylor Swift or Kanye have the ability to maybe inspire or to motivate people to show up who maybe never have registered to vote?
I definitely think they do. I mean, the stats are kind of incredible. After Taylor Swift put out her her post on social media encouraging people to vote and also specifically to vote Democratic, she 65,000 people registered to vote in the 24 hours after that, after Taylor's post. And that's more than the people who registered nationwide in August to vote.
Holy cow.
So incredible influence she has. And I think she's influencing a group, you know, probably younger people who aren't really taking advantage of the polls and their vote. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people would say, well, what? Why should we be paying attention to these celebrities? I would take the opposite tack and say, like, everybody, even celebrities, has a voice. The president is primarily a celebrity. Kanye and Taylor Swift getting involved in this discussion, this, you know, very important discussion. I hope it focuses people's minds on that there is an election in 26 days or so from today. And if they're not registered, they should register if they still can in their state and vote and make their voice heard. I think it's great that these celebrities are weighing in on this.
I do,
it's
too.
It's important.
I do, too. And I think it's what it takes to galvanize young voters. I completely agree with that. And when people were saying in the 2016 election, because I was at the Democratic and the Republican convention, there, you know, and Katy Perry was performing. And then you had people say, and Rob Reiner was sitting two seats away from me. You know, same with Trump. They had, you know, different people performing there as well. Not as many, of course. But then a lot of Republicans saying, why are these Hollywood celebrities getting involved? I think they absolutely need to get involved because this is a perfect example. Kanye's for Trump, Taylor's for the Democrats. You know, it's just, I think it's great that if this is what it takes to get a young person to register to vote and to vote, by all means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't it odd how parallel and how they intersect all the time, Kanye and Taylor?
Yes.
Do you think
yes.
Because Kanye was getting so loud, she's like, hold on a second. He stormed the stage when I won my award.
Right.
And she really, I mean, she drew attention, obviously, immediately. And as you mentioned, with some fascinating results. We have a listener who wants to join the conversation. Hi, Joanne. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for calling. What did you want to say?
What I want to say, I realize it's a little bit late, but I think that the primaries are just as important, if not more so, than the general elections. Because the primaries are where you get to weed out the oddballs, kooks, and whatever, wanting to run for office. And if they get, because a lot of times they have gotten, some of them have gotten through the primaries, and there they are on the ballot for the general election.
Joanne, I think that's a great point.
And that's what I think. My old Irish grandmother had an expression, if you do not vote, you have no right to complain.
There you go. That's very true.
Yep.
And yeah. And I just think that the primaries are just as important. Mm-hmm. And I think election days should be holidays.
I agree.
I think, you know, it's funny. A lot of people were talking about Columbus Day, maybe turning that into an election holiday. But I just don't see anybody pushing that forward. Do you, Sean?
Well, I think if you get the right group in Washington, I think it will happen. I think if the Democrats get into office and get control, I think the next time they're there, I think it will be part of their platform to make voting significantly easier, because the people who aren't voting tend to be Democrats. So it would behoove them to do something like that. And I think they will, if they ever do get back there.
And in, well, where we live, obviously, Illinois, we have a big gubernatorial race coming up. We have a big mayoral race coming up next year, Sean. It has never been easier to vote. Mm-hmm. You can register all the way up until, you can register till election day. You can register and then go vote. And we have early voting that just started here in Chicago. And on October 22nd, it's going to be everywhere. So, mm-hmm. And you can do mail-in. There's not really an excuse, you know, to miss it anymore.
Yeah, and the numbers are really distressing. In the primary, like Joanne was talking about, just 29% of registered voters turned out in Chicago in the primary earlier this year.
Oh, it was worse. It was worse when Rauner was running because it was 16% statewide
for the primary.
Yes, yes, it was. And then, but in 2016, in the presidential election year, it was almost 50%. I think it was 48% or so.
Yeah. Which still,
weak numbers.
Yeah, very.
Before we go, I just want a listener asks about Taylor Swift. Did she say vote Democratic, or did she give an example of her research? And I have the answer for that. On Sunday, she said she explained why she intends to vote for two Democrats, Senate candidate Phil Bredesen and House of Reps candidate Jim Cooper in her home state of Tennessee. She says she points to her views on women's rights, LGBTQ rights, and systematic racism as aligning with those candidates. She says that Marsha Blackburn, who now holds the office has a congressional voting record that appalls and terrifies her. That's her reasoning. So for people who want to know if Taylor Swift gave her reasons, she certainly did. So as we all should try to be aware of what our reasons are, not just I hate Republicans or I hate Trump or I hate Hillary or I hate, you know, Michael Madigan or we're voting from hate and fear,
right?
Rather than, you know, and again, there's a website called I Side With. Sean, I don't know if you're familiar with it, isidewith.com, mm-hmm. and they have a quiz. I mean, if people aren't quite sure where they stand on things, and maybe you don't even know what your answers are to them,
right?
It gives you a place to go, oh, well, how do I feel about the president declaring war against Al-Qaeda without congressional approval? Right?
Or carbon emissions and global warming. Yeah, it's where you stand on the issues.
Yeah, it's a whole list. Sean, you have brought a great conversation, and we want to check in with you again, maybe closer to the midterms.
Yeah.
Would love that.
Excellent.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. Everyone,
thanks for having me on. Really enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
Our pleasure, of course.
Voting
with the porpoise.
And go to @votingwiththeporpoise on Twitter as well. Thank you, Sean. Have a great night.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank
Good
you.
Night.
Good night. Good night, Sean. More after this on 720 WGN. That with the end of summer, a lot of people lament the fact that they won't be able to go to their farmers markets anymore. But that's not necessarily true, is it, Andrea?
No, and I was so bummed, but our next guest is going to tell us the farmers market doesn't go away.
Tell us about Green City Market, Melissa. Melissa Flynn is the executive director for Green City Market. What can people look forward to as it gets colder?
Sure, you're right. We don't go away. So we will be outdoors.
Go away,
we don't, I promise. We will be outdoors through the end of October. And then we move inside to the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum. Mm-hmm. And you can find all sorts of things all winter long. We'll have some great fruit. We also have a lot of frozen fruit that our farmers collect at the peak of season. Mm-hmm. So you can still get stuff for your blueberry pie for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And we have wonderful root vegetables that you can cook with all winter long. You'll still see greens. Spinach and carrots are actually fantastic this time of year and through the winter because they love the cold. So just that touch of cold makes it so much sweeter.
I always look forward to the squashes, gourds, the spaghetti squash.
Absolutely.
I mean, and actually, I think it was Whole Foods just did a whole new recipe page for squashes and soups. And I mean, it's the time to start making all your soups.
Oh, for sure. And squashes are even great for muffins. I make butternut squash muffins for my kids all the time.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
I've yet to bring you my carrot zucchini cookies.
No, and I've been hearing about these for months.
They are. I make them for my son because he doesn't eat a lot of textures, and I have to hide my own cookies because I will eat them. Yeah. They're so good. We make brownies with avocado and blueberries as well, and spinach. Spinach, avocado, and blueberries. Mm. But there are a lot of great ways to incorporate vegetables, especially if you have kids that are picky eaters, or for yourself as a treat to get your vitamins in and have dessert.
For sure. And at the market, we try to make it super simple so that we remind everybody cooking's not drudgery. It's easy to do. If you're using great local produce, it is at its peak nutrition. So you're getting the best nutrition for your family because there is no travel time to market. So much of the food in our grocery stores loses 50% of its nutrition by the time it gets to you. So it's easy to shop and cook really well for your family from a farmer's market.
How often will Green City Market be open for the public to be able to enjoy local produce?
Sure. Through the holiday season, mm-hmm. we are open every Saturday. And then January through April, we're open every other Saturday.
Okay.
And it's all on our website.
I remember years ago, it was, you know, kind of this small, and now it's huge. It's grown in popularity.
I mean,
when I lived in the South Loop, we have a great farmer's market as well at Fourth Presbyterian Church, but mm-hmm. on Saturdays we would always get a group of us and go up, and that's where I started buying my honey, things
absolutely.
Like that too. But what do you attribute, I guess, the success to how it started out so small and now it's huge and people all over the city and the burbs too are coming in and it's into Chicago for
We're actually going into our 20th year in 2019, so
Incredible.
You're right, we've been around for a while, and we did start small in the alley next to Chicago Theater with about 6 vendors, although every vendor will tell me they've been there since the beginning.
Yeah.
80 of you could not have been there on the first day.
Yeah.
And it's really because we were one of the first markets to employ third-party certification. So there's trust when you come to our market. You know you're getting produced, farmer-produced food. You know it's healthy. You know it's sustainably grown. And that the land is being cared for generations to come.
And local, if not in Illinois, the Midwest for sure.
Absolutely. The average distance to market is less than 100 miles at our market versus grocery store, which is 1,500 miles to market.
The other thing that I love about the farmers markets is this sort of festiveness. There's also this camaraderie between the farmers. I hope it's not for show.
No, it's real.
For real. Yeah, it seems like it is. And then there's also vendors with like locally produced, you know, whether it's salsas or jardinera, cheeses and meats and all kinds of things like that. Are you able to incorporate them throughout the winter?
We are. Absolutely. And you're absolutely right about that social interaction. Typically at a farmer's market, you will have 15 to 20 social interactions. At a grocery store, you might have 1 to 2. So we have people come to market all the time that say, this is our happy place. They couldn't wait to get here. They'll tell me proudly that their kids grew up at Green City Market. So we know it makes a difference. I've never walked into like a retail chain and been like, thank God I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Right? And yeah. I love the, you're absolutely right, Patty, the camaraderie too, but also like, you know, if I'm unsure. I love cheese. I know it's a bad.
Oh, me too. I love cheese. Are you kidding?
Because there's certain kinds. Yeah, there's certain kinds, and they're like, here, you know, we'll open it up or take a taste.
Yep.
You know, just because you've never had maybe the blue cheese mixed with the cheddar.
Right. And there's things that once you taste them at a farmer's market, you just can't go back. That first strawberry that actually tastes like a strawberry and makes your mouth water, people just literally, their faces light up when they try it. Or this time of year, the crisp apple that tastes like an apple.
Yeah.
It really makes such a difference to get it local and fresh.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about a mostly veggie affair. We're hanging out with Melissa Flynn. She is the executive director for Green City Market. What's the website people can check out to learn more and some social media?
GreenCityMarket.org. And we are at Green City Market on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Find out more about their hours. Just because it's chilly doesn't mean you can't be healthy. More after this on 720 WGN. Ooh, you know what you need to download is the Green City Market app. You didn't say anything about an app, Melissa.
I was just about to get
there.
Were
you really? Oh, no, I ruined it. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
not ruined at all.
You go ahead and talk about it. I'll download it while you're talking. We're talking to Melissa Flynn. She is the executive director of Green City Market. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. You can always join our conversation by calling 312-981-7200, and you can text us to that same number. Tell us about the app and the mostly veggie affair.
Sure. So we know everyone's really busy, and they might absolutely want to get to the market first thing in the morning to get their favorite eggs or whatever it is that they love. And some weeks, it just doesn't happen. Your schedule is busy and you get there at noon and you miss your favorite things. So we created the Green City Market app where you can order anything you need ahead of time directly from the farmers.
Okay.
And pick it up?
You pick it up right at market, so you still get that great social interaction, but it's bringing new people out to the market to help our farmers earn a living wage. And for our loyal customers, it just gives them one more little level of convenience and ease when coming to Green City Market.
Done. Downloaded
and
it.
It's
oh,
free.
I'm so
just
doing
now.
It too.
Fantastic.
I did it first.
I got to do it. I wanted to ask you about pumpkins too.
Ooh.
I mean, this is obviously the time to get pumpkins.
It is the time, and we have some gorgeous pumpkins, not only to, of course, decorate, but to eat and make great roasted pumpkin seeds and
pumpkin soup. Yeah.
Yes. So any pumpkin needs you might have, we've got it. So really for fall, we've got you covered. We've got the apples, the crisp pears, pumpkins, squashes. So your table will look beautiful. And if you're not sure what to cook, we're doing a cooking series at our indoor market for the holidays. So November 3rd, we're going to be working on soups for your holidays.
I love making soups.
Oh, roasted cauliflower soup.
Ooh,
we have to talk. We have to do a whole. We have to do a whole half hour at some point on just
soups.
We'd be happy to bring in food.
What?
November 10th, we're doing your new favorite Thanksgiving stuffing.
Yes.
And then November 17th, you'll actually make an apple pie with us, and you'll go home, and all you'll have to do is bake it. So
that's fantastic.
These will all be on our website as well, and that way you look like the star of Thanksgiving. You got to taste the recipe. We give you a shopping list, and you get to bring home a sample.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not distracted. I'm signing up. No, I'm signing up for my Green City Market app right now. I'm like,
She signed up for all the classes.
For the apple pie, I've always dreamt of making that sort of like crisscross, that lattice pie, and every time I think I want to do it, I'm like, I'll just roll it out and put it on top and poke some holes in it. I've always wanted to do that.
It's not as hard as it as you think once you learn how to make dough and make it easily. But apple pie is good anyway. You don't have to go through the lattice trouble. Put the dough on top. It's going to be delicious.
I know, but I've always wanted to do that. You know, some people do a very elaborate pie
crust. To our class and we'll show you how.
I love. I'm not a fruity, usually dessert person, but I love a fresh apple pie or a fresh blueberry pie. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's something. What is it? And I don't mean this to be a softball question, but the fruit and the produce and everything from the farmer's market, it's always better. I mean, when we get the corn right, Patty, from our friends at Mirai, it lasts. What is it about the farmer's market that the produce lasts so much longer? And this is not a slam. Many, many years ago, I worked for Jewel and all, you know, a big box grocery store. and it's not a slam at any particular grocery store because their produce is fine, too. But what is it about the farmer's market fruit that makes it last longer and it's just thicker and fresher and juicier?
I think it starts really on the tree. It starts with their growing practices. It starts with using sustainable ingredients and then the care for it. So when you are a small farmer, you know your trees, you're paying absolute attention to them, you're picking at the peak time, and you're not having to deal with travel time. So you can pick when your fruit is actually ready. You're not trying to get it to green or to ripen on a truck. Mm-hmm. So for strawberries, that we still have some ever-bearing strawberries at market with Mick Klug, they're picked the day before market. Mm-hmm. So it really is just that reduction of time and the care of which it's grown.
When I I'm gonna get corny now for a minute. I did a yoga retreat in the Adirondacks, and they would do this meditation class with eating. So mm-hmm. when you would take a bite of something, they would have you sort of envision where it came from and being in the sunlight and being picked. I could actually see being able to do that with mm-hmm. the food that comes into Green City Market.
Oh yeah,
we talk about food memories a lot. In fact, in our education programs, we are in three schools teaching edible education as part of their curriculum, and one of the first things we do to break the ice with the kids is ask their favorite food memory. And it's so fun when you ask somebody that, because that like opened expression and people will talk and, oh, my aunt's cookies. And they'll just start telling you about this experience they have or the smell of something when they come into the kitchen. And kids that normally don't talk to each other are like, my mom makes the best mac and cheese or whatever it is. Yeah. Or my grandma makes the best sauteed greens. And you just see everyone kind of calm down a little bit and they're talking to each other. And it's such a great way to start a class. We've really had fun with it.
A friend of mine from Channel 9, her husband is a chef, mm-hmm. and what they have three young boys. They're all, I know, she's a miracle mom.
That's
she's
not okay.
Three little...
I want a chef. Oh, I'm sorry, I love you. I love you, honey. I love you, honey.
So he's a chef, and they have three boys under the age of six, and I just find it so neat because he's always, you know, letting them try new things mm-hmm. to the point of now where their middle son loves lemon, you know, fresh squeezed lemon on whatever it happens to be, you know, meat or chicken or something like that. But they started them very young with fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and that kind of, because of what he does and whatnot. But do you find that, like, it makes serving it, kids younger makes them appreciate
for
it more.
Sure. At Club Sprouts, which is our at-market education program for kids, and we have an edible gardens where you can help plant. It can be your sort of Chicago garden. Parents tell us all the time, oh, my kid won't eat that, as they've eaten every sample we have on our table. And once they get to see it, we'll have kids who pick radishes in our garden and then go to the farmer's booth and buy radishes. Kids don't buy radishes.
Right.
And so we know if we can get them involved, it changes things.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We are going to take a quick break here, and everyone just close your eyes and think of your favorite food memory until we come back on 720 WGN. The state of Illinois has, and the surrounding states, we have some of the most incredible farmers, the most wonderful produce, and what better way than to enjoy that with your community, being able to find a place where you can buy a food that is sustainable, that is healthy. And we want to thank Melissa Flynn, who is the director of Green City Market. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And have you downloaded your app yet, Andrea?
Yes, I did.
Okay. We have
I want to take the cooking classes and in November for the soups.
I want to do all. I want the apple pie. I want to make my apple pie.
Come on out.
Yeah, I want to make. But yours is probably going to come out awesome.
No,
I've never made it a pie.
My stuff doesn't.
You can do this.
From scratch.
We can definitely do this.
Okay.
I need a better oven. Sometimes it's about the equipment. Or maybe it is just the cook. I don't know. We'll
no,
see.
It's the, blame the equipment.
It's the oven. Yeah, absolutely. It's the oven.
It's time. Melissa, tell us about A Mostly Veggie Affair.
It is an incredible event. It is November 8th. It's going to be held at Lakeshore Beverage, and we'll have 20 of just some of the best chefs in Chicago coming out, and pastry chefs. We'll have stations set up. We'll have tons of different beverages, all from chefs who shop Green City Market. So you'll really get to get inspired what you can make with all this great fall produce. So they shop the market, they come up with ideas, and it'll be featured that evening. And you can go from booth to booth. You'll talk to the chefs. It really is just a fantastic evening, 6:30 to 9:30.
On November 8th.
And you can get tickets right at greencitymarket.org.
I'm in love with everything we're talking about.
Oh my God, me too. And Chicago is such a great city for this. Have you just received such great support from the city for our markets, for our farmers markets?
We really are so lucky to be in Chicago. We are positioned so we have great food coming in, as you said, from Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois, of course. So we're in a great location, and the chef community really helped us start this market and has really embraced us as we'll go into our 20th year next year. It's incredible.
Do you notice, too, a lot more farm-to-table? I mean, I know that it's kind of become more and more of a trend, mm-hmm. but now I see restaurants either having green rooftop gardens. I know mm-hmm. Uncommon Ground has their... They have, right, one of the first... I have to look it
they
up.
They are one of the greenest restaurants, and they were the first to have a rooftop farm and the first to have organic beer in Illinois.
Rooftop farm.
What?
Yes, because mm-hmm. I was referring to it as a rooftop garden. They said, no, it's a rooftop farm.
It's amazing.
Check yourself.
Isn't that cool? But yeah, I just am noticing more and more farm to table and more restaurants having their gardens and their farms on site.
Absolutely. And while we have come so far, we still have a long way to go. And so it's one of the things we talk about all the time. It is more important than ever to shop locally. If you buy from a grocery store, the 15 cents per purchase goes to the farmer. At a farmer's market, 100% goes back to the farmer. So in this day and age, when we feel like we don't have an impact, shopping directly from farmer's market is an actual tangible difference you can make each and every time.
What?
Wow, that's interesting.
I'm putting my order in right now.
And also at farmers markets, most of them, not just Green City Market, we not only welcome Link, which is food stamps, mm-hmm. but we match dollar for dollar up to $15. And for our indoor market, we'll be increasing that match to $20 up through the holiday season. And with no farm bill right now, those benefits may go away. And we have pledged as an organization to continue benefits regardless of what happens to the farm bill since they kicked that down the road.
Wow. How do you coordinate this? I'm looking at him like, how is this possible?
Yeah.
What a tremendous thing for the city and for the farmers and for our communities.
And that's the funds raised from Mostly Veggie Affairs support that Link program directly.
Okay. So that's a great way to be involved fundamentally.
Absolutely.
And in a way that helps, like I said, our neighbors.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so with the gubernatorial race and the mm-hmm. mayor's race, I mean, do you watch, I mean, that's not going to affect anything as far as either funding or farmers markets or anything being set up?
Right now, we don't receive any funding through Illinois. It could absolutely affect the longevity of our market. We are at the, we have a contract with the Chicago Park District for our Lincoln Park and West Loop location. And so, of course, if the powers that be change and decide they don't want to support farmers market, we would absolutely be in jeopardy.
There would be an uprising. If that would, let me tell you.
I would hope so.
There would be an uprising.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I think that's going to be one of our first questions to any mayoral candidate.
Absolutely.
What do you intend to do?
The markets.
And if you could have your second question, there's a Good Food Purchasing Policy Act that's supposed to go in effect where Chicago institutions such as schools and hospitals have to purchase 20% locally. And we should be talking to our farmers first, not talking to the big food distributors, but talking to our local farmers. So ask the candidates that.
Yeah, that should be 50%. That should be, you know,
They should be talking to the farmers. Right now, they aren't. So we really need to get our local farmers involved in our food system. It's so, so important.
Well, absolutely.
And it seems like a no-brainer. What would be the holdup except for...
To me as well.
Yeah,
you're like, I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
I am absolutely in awe of the work that you've done and what you've brought to the city of Chicago.
Thank you.
Now, you said you grew up in Oak Park, River Forest area.
I sure did.
Well, how did you get involved in Green City Market? What led you to this?
As most people people. That's sort of a curved path. I used to work for the Lincoln Square Chamber of Commerce and help started a nighttime farmers market. Mm-hmm. And our third son was born with 5 food allergies. So suddenly I started really paying attention to where my food came from,
sure.
what was in the food. And it just sort of became an absolute passion project and started seeing the benefits. My dad died of complications of diabetes. And so I really started paying attention. And it is amazing the difference good food will have. We have cancer patients all the time that say, this helped me get through chemo.
Oh, yeah.
We have people facing depression that have said, this feels better. So really quickly got a huge lesson on food right away and just fell in love with our local food system.
My mom had to get her cholesterol down as well, too. Mm-hmm. And she found out some really cool, unique vegetables that she's a fantastic cook, but she loves beets.
Mm-hmm.
And she will only
yes.
get her beets from the farmer's market. And oh, my God. I'm not a huge beet fan, but the way she makes them, you know, she bakes them with the olive oil and
roasts them and they caramelize.
Roast them. Yes, yes.
I've delicious.
I never ever even liked beets until I tried her. I call her just her farmer's market beets.
Have you ever juiced so a beet? I love beet juice.
I have not. My mom has.
I love beet juice.
There's so many things when you taste it. I never liked eggplant really until I got my eggplant from Froggy Meadow at the market, and now I absolutely love it. So things you don't even think you like, when it's prepared well and
absolutely.
Simply, mm-hmm. all of a sudden it's an incredible dish that you didn't have to do a whole lot to prepare.
Yeah.
Well, and it also, I don't know, there's something about buying produce that has been, you know, sort of kissed by the same sun that we live mm-hmm. under, you know, in the same area, the same geographic. And there's something to that. There are books about how if you eat things that are grown in the same sort of region that you're in, that's mm-hmm. healthier for you as well.
Absolutely. Honey is a great example of that.
Yes.
We have a couple of honey producers. I know that I've done it with my kids. It's supposed to be within 50 miles and it helps you with your allergies. And that definitely, I've seen a difference. There has been great stories of using traditional cooking methods and traditional foods mm-hmm. in American Indian populations, and it literally within weeks reduced the effects of diabetes within that community because they started eating what they were traditionally supposed to eat. So you're absolutely right. Eating locally is really what we're supposed to do. And of course, we all want things from all over the world, and that's fantastic. But at the core, if we can have our core stuff local, it would have a tremendous impact.
You know what I started buying at the farmer's market is salsa,
mm-hmm.
but there's the corn salsa and there's the pineapple salsa.
Oh, nice.
So now that's kind of become, because I used to not cook as mm-hmm. much as I do now, so I would get the pineapple, get the corn, put them in two separate and take it to either Super Bowl party, and they're like, oh, you make the best salsa. I'm like...
You say, yes, I do.
I buy the best salsa from the farmer's market. But the salsas even are just yeah. awesome, too.
Mm-hmm. We have a number of people that literally, they pick the tomatoes, they roast them, and it goes right into their salsa.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when they tell you that you make a great salsa, just say, I open a jar like nobody's business.
Exactly.
Like nobody's business. I wonder, if you want to stay for one more segment, we can ask people what their food
Absolutely.
Memories are.
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy to.
312-981-7200. What's your favorite food memory? And by the way, you mentioned that people want things from all over the world. A lot of that comes from, whether it's preparation, also the spices that you use.
Absolutely.
I've been talking about this company, Penzies mm-hmm. Spices, and they make, they have a cinnamon that I put in my coffee that is, it's transformative. I can't start my day without my Penzi cinnamon in my coffee. It's like, oh.
Everyone has their thing.
I have my
fantastic.
Thing. It's just like, I'm like, where's yeah. my, as soon as it gets low, I'm like, I gotta order some more. We are hanging out with Melissa Flynn. She's the executive director for Green City Market. You can go to greencitymarket.org. Also, you can download the app. You can pre-order if you are in a hurry or you're not quite sure, you don't want to wander, but you want to have it ready to go. But, you know, go and browse and enjoy yourself. There are 3 locations in Chicago through the winter months. And a veggie, a very veggie,
mostly veggie
mostly
affair.
Veggie affair. I don't want to say very. A mostly veggie affair is on November 8th, and the location is?
At Lakeshore Beverage, right at 300 Elizabeth Street.
300 Elizabeth Street. Everyone, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We have prizes we haven't been giving away. I was talking to Sarah Timon today, and she's like, you need to start giving some of your stuff away.
Yeah,
we should give away
a
pair of tickets to Witch that we
yes.
have. 312-981-7200. For the first caller who gives us a food memory.
Yes.
And we have a pair of tickets to go see Witch at the Writers Theater in Glencoe,
which we saw tonight.
It was
and
amazing.
Loved
it.
Yeah. I really did. I thought it was awesome.
So we'll give you a pair of tickets, and then you can go stop at Green City Market and get your gourd on. Get your gourd on. More after this on 720 WG. And again, 312-981-7200. Share your food memory with us and win a pair of tickets to see Witch at the Writers Theater. More after this on 720 WGN. Is it the Wiggles, Michael?
Quite possibly.
No. I'm not. I'm saying it as a mom who watched many Wiggles episodes.
You know what? Say what you want about the Wiggles, and a lot of people love them. They write a good song. Like, this is a catchy tune, in my opinion.
Sometimes I can't get Wes Jeff out of my head. Uh-oh. Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
He's always sleeping.
Have you ever? Oh, that's right. I remember that song. Mm-hmm. Were you a fan of Raffi back in the day?
I was a fan of Raffi back in the day.
Oh, yep. Man. They took it to the next level.
I love that there's a girl Wiggle now.
Oh, yeah?
There's a girl Wiggle. Yep. Oh, my kids.
I haven't seen it in a bit.
My kids, there used to be at Great America, there used to be a Wiggles stage. And they used to have Wiggles rides there and everything. And then they lost the copyright. The copyright to that. You're listening to the Patty Baskin Show with Andrea Darlis. And we just came back from the Writers Theater in Glencoe, their world premiere of Witch, which it was amazing.
Yes.
Every performer in this show was captivating, energetic. I wanted to hang out with them.
I did too. I thought the same thing because we had to leave to come back here to work, and I just wanted to hang out with this cast. It was a cast of six, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to have them all on the show.
I want all of them because they were remarkable. They were absolutely remarkable. Yeah. It was one of the best acting experiences I've seen.
Did you get hungry at all? Because there's a lot of food in this. I mean, they're not actually eating, but there's a lot of prop food.
A lot of food scenes.
There's a lot of dinner scenes. And there was one scene where they have like a pig's head just in the middle of the table.
Like a pig roast, yeah.
A lot of vegetables, mince pie. You can see that there was a mince pie on the stage at some point. We are talking about some of our favorite food memories. And for Jim, we have a pair of tickets for you. Jim, tell us your food memory. And I've got a pair of tickets for you to see Witch.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Of course.
Anyway, the food memory is walking into my grandmother's house. Always smelled like baking. Even when she wasn't baking, like the smell of like when brown sugar, cardamom, and vanilla get together and bake, it's always, always in the air.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
Just that smell, like I say, even when she wasn't baking, it smelled like that.
It was in the floorboards, in the walls. Yep, there are people's houses that are like that all the time. Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
And when she did bake a coffee cake, which was, you know, it actually tasted like the house smell. It was wonderful.
It was, you know, was the coffee cake your favorite?
To a kid, there was nothing greater.
No kidding. Do you ever bake?
A couple of box cakes, and I can bake bread, and you know survival baking if I have to.
Oh, that's awesome. Aww. Well, we are so excited to give you a pair of tickets to see Witch, the new production. The world premiere was tonight at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. And hold on the line, Jim. Thank you so much for sharing that food memory, because I really do think there's so much involved in those sort of moments in our lives that come back to life. Especially do you ever smell something, Jim, that just takes you all the way back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes walking into a bakery will, you know, bring that one back. Depends on what they've been cooking. Another one is, not really fast food, but the diner smell of grilled onion and burger, a little chili mixed in, that smell.
Yep.
That's another one. Yeah, I'll spare you the details, but that takes me places in my life.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Cool that we have these memories, you know, of when we were growing up, and now we're starting to, I'm getting more into cooking now, you know, starting to make some of these recipes now and then panning them down.
Absolutely. Yeah. You want to keep that all in the family.
Yep.
Jim's got a pair of tickets to see Witch, and that is at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. Go to Writers Theater. Is it Writer? I'm trying to find the information on the prize.
It's Writers Theater. Hold on.
Yeah, let's find the information for that. So everybody can get information on how to buy a pair of tickets to go see, not even a pair, as many as it takes. Bring the whole family. It's a really intimate theater.
WritersTheater.org. org.
See, I didn't want to get that wrong. Thank you so much for looking that up. I appreciate it.
It is. I'm glad you said it. It was a very intimate theater. It, mm-hmm. it reminded me of the Steppenwolf. And to me, I know there's four theaters within the building. The theater we were in was a little bit bigger, mm-hmm. and it was just remarkable. The set was awesome. I can't say enough about how good it was. I knew it was going to be kind of cool and interesting, but I was just blown away by how great it was.
Oh, it was spectacular. It really, it's just one of the best things I've seen live in a very, very long time. The other live thing that I've seen is some great food, which was actually on the stage. It's funny because one of my favorite food memories is when my husband and I started dating, we used to go to a restaurant called The Hat Dance. And
I remember that.
It was such a good
restaurant. Wasn't everything white?
Yes.
Yes.
It was. It was very white. Festive.
Oh, nice.
White leather. It was a Latin-Japanese fusion food.
I was going to say, was it Hispanic or was it Latin?
It was Latin. And they had the best barbacoa, but they also had this ahi tuna that was. I've never had tuna like that before or since. And it was just our favorite place to go. Plus a Kettle One martini now and then.
I remember the hat dance.
It was such a great. But I mean, like, so sometimes with restaurant, my mom makes the best chilaquiles. She makes them from scratch. It takes her like 2 or 3 days to make. Oh, yes. What's some of your favorites, Melissa?
The smell of sautéed garlic is instantly bringing me back to my childhood.
Yes.
Now it's probably making meatballs. My kids love when I make homemade meatballs. Yum. And again, it's that sautéed garlic. They come in the house and they're just like, oh, you're making meatballs. So I love that. And my favorite food memory is my Aunt Rosa's crystal cookies. I don't even know what they really were called. They were these incredible powder sugar thing with just probably fried or baked dough. And I'd always say, oh, I didn't take any as I had powdered sugar dripping all down me.
The
evidence is covering you. That's great. Do you also make, with the meatballs, do you make a sauce from scratch for the pasta, or is it...
I do some days. It depends on the day. but some really a very simple sauce, too.
Right. And that's the thing, too. A good meatball can go with anything. How about you, Andrea?
Homemade sauces I absolutely love. I'm kind of getting into more of that, too. Mm-hmm. And the soups. I mean, a friend of mine was sick last year, and I thought, I'm going to make homemade chicken soup. And I did. I got a recipe from my mom and then another friend who makes all kinds of soups. But that's just the best, chopping up all the fresh vegetables and putting everything in there.
Oh, I made homemade chicken soup before I came. Threw it in the crock pot tonight.
What?
So it's
Where?
For kids' lunch.
Oh, okay. For the lunch, yeah.
I'll bring it next time.
Okay.
It makes me sad that I'm the only one in my house that likes broccoli soup. I make a really good broccoli. Well, at least I like
I'll
it.
I'll eat your broccoli soup.
Me too?
Yeah, me and Melissa will eat your broccoli soup.
Yeah.
Do you make with a cheesy? Without cheese.
I was going to say cheesy broccoli?
The cheese is optional. You can top it with your own cheese. When you serve it hot, it melts at your will.
I want to try your broccoli soup.
Yeah, I make a really good broccoli soup.
I am in. I want your broccoli soup, and I've been promised brownies.
Oh, yeah.
For months.
The healthy brownies.
Yeah, the healthy brownies.
I'll even bring you the broccoli.
Yeah. Melissa's in.
Yeah.
You got to come back for the cooking class.
We should have a soup. We should have a soup night.
We should have a soup night.
We could do that.
Oh, we could do that. That'd be very fun.
Yeah.
So yours are soups? Some of your favorite
soups? Soups and the spaghetti sauces. I'm trying to, I'm trying to make spaghetti sauce now with sausage.
Ooh,
with
yum.
Crumbled sausage.
Oh, God, I'm so hungry.
Yeah. I know. We should be talking about this when we're so hungry.
I know. I'm like starved. How about you, David Jennings? What's some of your favorite food memories?
My mother would always make a chocolate birthday cake for me.
Aww.
Yummy.
With chocolate icing.
Nice.
And I would end up doing what you would probably expect me to do. You done? Give me the bowl and the spoon. Thank you very much. Go away. Leave me alone.
See?
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you, when I make these carrot zucchini chocolate chip cookies, I can't stop licking the bowl either. I'm like, I don't know what it is about that combination, because also the water that comes out of the carrots and the mm-hmm. zucchini get into the batter, and it just tastes amazing.
Yeah.
How about you, Michael? What's some of your favorite food memories?
Immediately what comes to my mind is any time that I step into a church basement and smell like hot food, hot anything, some cider beer, that always brings back to memories of just being at a family reunion or like a get together, a pep rally, and it takes me right back to being a kid. I want to sit on Santa's lap at that moment. I'm like looking for like my parents. It's always that chance.
See, now you've shifted me to when I was in grade school, we had hot lunch day once a week. Mm-hmm. And for me, like when I would start smelling the, because chili hot dog day. Hot dog. Oh, come on. I just remember our cafeteria and the whole building would smell like chili for the hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ate my lunches for the first like 14, 15 years of my life in a church basement when at a Montini and then Marion Central. So it's just solidified in there because you could, and sometimes if you could smell really, really faintly the smell of cigarette smoke from the bingo night before.
That's funny.
Love that. That's true. See, and all of that is sort of like built into it.
Totally.
Well, thank you, Melissa, for sharing so much about Green City Market and inspiring us to have memories about our childhoods and the foods that we love and making us really hungry. And there's nothing that Andrea and I can do about it for at least an hour.
No.
There's nothing, but that's fine. That's all right. Okay. And I know we've kept you up late. You do so much great work by keeping the farmers invested in our city and the city invested in our farmers. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, and download the app. And yes, it doesn't close just because the end of the season is coming up. The Notarbart Museum and
absolutely
some of these cooking classes. And I'm going to take that pie class with you.
We have to do the pie class, soup class. Go to Mostly Veggie Affair on November 8th. And that's all the information is available at greencitymarket.org.
Yes, can't wait to see everybody. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Anytime. And I promise we can have you on earlier next time. You're here. It just happens to be the Blackhawks game tonight. So we appreciate that. We'll take a photo with you before we go. Let's take a quick break here and then the news with David Jennings in a moment on 720 WGN. I kind of feel guilty, Andrea. We were talking about all this healthy food, and I kind of want to stop at McDonald's on the way home.
Oh, God.
Isn't that terrible?
You know what?
I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going
to
do it.
Oh, you're so funny, because I was coming to work yesterday, and I thought, all right, should I make a sandwich, or should I stop? And I almost stopped at White Castle's, because I haven't done that in maybe a year.
Well, when they have the turkey sliders with cranberry sauce and then sweet potato fries, that's some good stuff
right there.
That's healthier. It is.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah. It's funny how you get like a weird craving for fast food every now and again. And what fast food it is, like Taco Bell.
It's just the sodium I want.
I know.
We order a lot of, I will be honest, we order probably twice a week a carryout, which is, I mean, when, you know, I'd rather not. I'm trying to cut back. One, it's expensive and it's not as healthy. So we ordered a pizza one night and I said, hey, the bell rang and Griffin downstairs to get the pizza, and he came back up with the pizza and he goes, Mommy, they want you to go downstairs and sign it. And I thought, well, sometimes they do that with Grubhub.
Oh, with the credit card.
They'll have you sign the receipt. And I go down there and it's a guy with a clipboard who wanted me to sign his petition to get on the ballot for the alderman for our neighborhood.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, it was partly clever and a little bit creepy that he saw. I don't know if he saw the pizza delivery guy going up my stairs and figured, oh, so someone's home.
Yes.
I'll just kind of slide in with the pizza guy.
Yeah.
And I went down there and he had a clipboard. He goes, hi, I'm trying to get on the ballot. And I just started laughing because I didn't mean to laugh in his face.
Yeah.
But I felt kind of badly. And I go, I'm sorry. Let me, I can't do this right now. I'm in the middle of feeding my family.
Of dinner, yeah.
Of pizza, clearly.
You just saw it's the urgent, pizza go upstairs. Yeah.
Urgent pizza moment. I cannot possibly sign your ballot. But then he said, well, who are you going to vote for?
Stop it.
Yeah.
He asked who you were going to vote for?
Yeah.
I almost don't think they're allowed to do that. Can they ask that?
I don't know. Well, it's rude. For me, it's just rude. And now whoever you are, I definitely ain't signing your... I ain't touching that thing.
I agree.
You can take that away.
I agree. I totally agree. I've gotten a bunch of those lately, too. What I really don't like is electioneering. So if I go to vote on election day... I mean, I kind of have an idea of who I'm going to vote for already, too. But that's happened to me where someone will be handing out, and they're supposed to say, stay, I think, 100 feet away from the polling place. But they're always on the corner when you come around and they're handing you
the
pamphlet. It is intimidating. And I had someone ask me that one time before, too. I said, no, thank you. And he said, will you vote for candidate X or whoever? Right. I said, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. Don't hand me your pamphlet. It's not that I'm going to vote for that person, or I am. I don't want to be approached, you know, as I'm 10 feet from the polling place. And he got the same thing. He said, who are you voting for?
Ah, it's not okay.
And I wanted at that point to say, give me the pamphlet because I'm not voting for your candidate now.
Yeah, let me go out of my way to not, and also to waste this piece of paper.
Exactly.
I'm going to recycle this.
Do you notice are you getting a lot of solicitations like this lately?
You know what's interesting is I'm only getting one candidate's flyers, like the mailers.
Yeah.
I'm getting...
I'm getting some people door to door. We never answer the doorbell unless we've ordered Grubhub. Yeah. And that was why it was so funny. We don't answer our door because there have been in the past situations where people are breaking into homes or trying to run a scam. You know, I just don't answer the door.
Right. Because if it's Amazon or the postman or if
they
there's, they'll either ring the bell or you'll hear it. You know, I'll hear them coming up to the steps and then I'll know to go out and get the package. But I'm the same way. I don't really want to answer the door if you're going to ask me to sign it. Number one, I'm not going to sign your petition, no matter who you are,
right,
because I'm just not going to. You know, as a journalist, I'm not going to put my name on a piece of paper for anybody.
Right.
I'll vote. You know, right. I vote in every election, but...
And that's the thing.
I'm not going to sign for any candidate.
No, I don't think I've signed... and that's the thing, too, is whenever someone calls and wants to... They ask me what I do for a living, if I ever answer for the polling.
Oh,
you know, for the pollsters. They ask me what I do, and I'm like, I work in the media. I cannot help you.
Right. I'll say that, too.
Yeah.
And they're like, where do you work? Oh, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.
But I was just so appalled. Who are you going to vote for? And that happens on social media when people are like, well, who'd you vote for? I bet I don't know who you voted for.
Oh, yeah, they assume that they know.
Well, yeah, but and they want an answer, and I don't, it's just a strange, it's supposed to be.
I'm not going to engage.
I think you can, you know, for the most part, it seems as though listeners have an idea or think they know me.
Yeah.
But I have never, ever said on this show who I voted for.
Yeah.
Oh, ever.
Me neither. Yeah.
You can go through the hundreds of hours that I've been on the air.
Right.
You're not going to find it. You might be able to guess. Maybe you think you know, but yeah. I just don't answer that question.
No, I know.
Under any circumstances.
And it's private. You know, I mean, who you vote for. Do you ever think, I always wonder if, you know, so say it's Melania Trump or Michelle Obama. I always wonder, because when you go into the voting booth and they show, you know, you the candidate on TV with their spouse, I always wonder... I wonder if they are voting for their husband or wife.
Or do people vote for themselves?
Yeah.
And this is a totally different thing, but it involves voting.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever talked about this. I don't know if I've ever said this on the air. As an athlete, we would vote for team captain. Did you ever do that?
We did. Yeah, I played tennis. We had to vote for team captain.
Were you ever a team captain?
I was. My senior year, I was the captain of the tennis team. I was a co-captain.
So I was brought into our savior. It's funny because Michael was mentioning the smells coming from the, you know, remembering rallies and stuff. So I'm totally remembering our gymnasium
because
the kitchen was right off the gymnasium where they made the chili for chili hot dog day. And so our coach brought us in one by one and asked who we were voting for.
What?
And, yeah. So that we voted one by one.
Oh, for team captain. Okay.
For team captain.
Okay.
Right. So they pulled me in and they go, who do you want to have? You had to pick two people.
Okay.
And I picked Susie and Katie.
Okay.
As the team captain. And he goes, are you sure? And I said, yeah. And he goes, are you sure you want to vote for Katie? And I said, yeah, I'm voting for Katie. And I walked out and he later told me that my vote would have been the one that I would have been co-captain with Susie.
So you voted for her instead of yourself.
And I thought that's what he was telling me. And then it happened again when I was playing softball at Lane Tech. And they asked me who I wanted the two captains. And I said, Patty. And there's another girl, Patty.
Okay.
Patty Z. And Eileen. Okay. And it was funny because both times I picked somebody who was my age. Like I was an eighth grader in grade school and I picked Susie. She was the eighth grader. And Katie was a fifth grader who was phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
She was just a really good basketball player. And I don't regret it at all, but she became an all-state basketball player in high school. And who knows?
Cool.
Maybe my voting for her gave her that confidence as a fifth grader to go on.
Cool.
And I was never going to. I was a center. My plays were whatever you do, don't dribble.
Don't write. Don't throw it to me.
I was really good at rebounding and free throws. So my job was to pass the ball, just don't dribble, pass or shoot. So in high school, they asked me, I said, Patty and Eileen. And the coach said again, he goes, are you sure you want to vote for Eileen? And I said, yeah. And I go, am I tied with Eileen? He goes, yeah, you would be the tiebreaker. And I go, I'm voting for Eileen.
Yeah.
Both times, because I was never going to be a college ball player.
Right.
Like I was better at softball. But I could never vote for myself.
See,
icky.
I couldn't either. I couldn't either. Ours was secret ballot. So every year, so I was on the tennis team all 4 years and freshman year. So freshman year, sophomore, junior, it was all secret ballot. But every year, the team captains, it was usually co-captains. I think one year we had three, but it was always co-captains. And usually they were seniors. No, so even if the best player was a sophomore, you know, it was kind of like you're a senior, you've earned it. And it usually was the best players of the seniors. or someone who'd been on all 4 years. Maybe that's why I got it. No, I mean, I was decent. I was a good player. Well, I could never play D1.
It also means that people look up to you and they, you know, I was never the best player, but I was, as you can imagine, I had a lot of spirit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I always made it fun, but which to me didn't mean I should be a leader. It meant that I was, you know, I could get everybody motivated in a different way.
But I didn't vote for myself either. I'm kind of like that too. I don't think I could ever do that.
No, I don't think.
Unless I'm a candidate for office, then I'm gonna vote for myself.
Exactly.
If I'm running for mayor, I'm gonna vote for me.
Yeah, I don't know why. As a 13-year-old, I just knew that it was. I felt that having someone older and someone younger was like the best way to go both times.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just seemed like the way to go. Somebody just texted from the 773. Isn't it illegal to try and persuade us to vote for candidates
that's
in your polling
places?
That's what it is. There's a certain amount of distance they have to be.
Right. And that's unfortunate because it's what the distance is isn't
enough. No.
Exactly. Because I want to say it's 100 feet or 200 feet from the polling place, but that's clearly, you know,
more distance.
A half a block away.
Right. Right.
And I always thought, so if the person who was at your door with the clipboard,
ugh.
I don't think that's, well, I guess you can't stop, it's free speech, you can't tell, ask, you can't stop someone from asking who they're going to vote for, but you think they'd use a little more etiquette?
Do you know what, and I don't know if this is, if he found out who I was or something, because he sent me a friend request on Facebook. The guy who's running for, who wants to be on the ballot in my neighborhood.
So he knew
for
who
alderman.
You were?
I don't know. Which is then even creepier, right?
Yeah.
Because like now here's somebody who I laughed when he asked me to sign his his petition to be on the ballot, and then he sent me a friend request.
So you didn't sign it?
I did not sign
it. Did you not sign it because you weren't going to vote for that candidate?
I had pizza.
Okay. I know. That's number
one. Papa Joe's was waiting. It's such good pizza.
So would you sign a petition for someone that you weren't going to vote for?
Just to get
him on the ballot?
I think I believe in democracy. I believe in, you know, giving people the opportunity or the chance or to, you know, let them state their case and, you know, be available to the people.
Yeah.
I probably have in the past people I wasn't necessarily familiar with.
Yeah.
I might do that. I do want to say hi to our friend Jerry. I mentioned this in the last hour. Months ago, we were talking about women's health and a lot of women who don't necessarily go see their doctors on a regular basis. In particular, when it comes to women's health, we tend to be very self-conscious, and it's very uncomfortable and it's awkward. And Jerry was able to, he actually got her to listen to the show when we were having this conversation and heard other women telling their stories. And I was telling my story, and she is she finally has gone to the doctor, and they're dealing with some issues right now. So Jerry, I want to let you know that we are here, and we're glad that you're doing okay. I know it's a rough night for you, but we're here with you at night. And
absolutely.
He was at one of my shows. I did a show called Lipstick Mom at the Metropolis Theater in Arlington Heights.
Okay.
And we were all in the lobby, and it was when I was doing the 11 o'clock shows, and it was it was like 9:40 or so. And someone said, don't you have a show? And I looked out because there were still people in the lobby. I wanted to say hi to everybody. I mean, they bought a ticket to see my show. I could at least say hi to people.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and I barely made it to. Michael
it was like
here.
Tonight.
Tonight. We were lucky with the Blackhawks game. But there have been nights where I'm like, Michael, I swear I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. That was all the way from Arlington Heights. I barely made it. Here, let's see what Trucker Rich has to say before we go to the break. Hey, Trucker Rich.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Patty and Andrea?
We're doing well, thank you.
I always take their pamphlets and study them carefully and look like I'm really interested and tell the person, you know, thank you for the information. You've helped me make my choice. And they'll smile and say, are you voting for our candidate? And I'll say, no, you just pushed me to the other way.
Wow.
There you go.
Trucker Rich is stringing them along.
Yeah, no kidding.
And another thing for Halloween, you know what I've always wanted to do?
What?
But I don't have the house do it. Build a new deck out and, you know, like new set of steps on the porch and stuff. But go to Menards and buy a plastic skeleton and bury it just shallowly. Bury it about 3 inches under the dirt.
Sure.
And then build the deck over the top of it.
So the next people
that own the house, when they replace the deck, they'll just have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Man, oh, man. Yeah, that's a pulling one over on somebody. That would make my heart stop. I assure you. Oh, too funny.
Yeah, I think I spend too much time in a truck and should probably get out and talk to people, not in a windshield.
Well, we're glad that you talked to us, Trucker Rich, because you keep things moving to keep this country going.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You guys have a good evening. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Keep trucking. We have a listener who says, I'm going to reword some of this. Good evening. Here's one for the books. When I used to live in Berwyn, I went to vote for some election, and I think they still call him George's, had the cojones, I'm going to reword that, to ask me if I'm going to vote Democrat or Republican. I said, excuse me, and they repeated their question, and my answer was that it's none of your business who I'm voting for. You're just supposed to give me the ballot, and I vote for who I want to. They came back and asked me to find out if I was voting for Republican or Democrat again, so we can give you the correct ballot.
I knew they were going to say that, yeah.
My reply was, you can stick your ballot up your you-know-what because it's none of your effing business who I'm voting for. And I just walked out and I never voted in Berwyn again.
Aww. Oh, no. It's unfortunately the primaries in Illinois. You have to, unfortunately.
In the primaries,
it's not declaring. It's selecting the Democrat or the Republican ballot. And honestly, Patty, I know people who, I know people who won't vote because of that. It's not the only thing I can say is I wish we didn't have that. I wish it could just be, you know, like in Canada, when they vote, it's every single person who is on there, you know, Libertarian, Green Party, Republican, Democrat, and that the winner wins.
Yeah, that's.
You know, I wish we didn't have that, but it is that way now. But it's not like the only thing I can say is because for the longest time when I would vote, I would do every other Republican, Democrat, to be fair. So every other I would vote for.
Oh, there you go.
To keep it fair. But it's not like you're scored or no one's checking on you. It's not going to be used against you. It's just so people can. It's an antiquated system.
Yeah,
I wish we didn't have it.
I wish for the primaries it was different. But in the general election, they do not ask you for whether you want a Democrat or Republican ballot. So,
if they do this fall.
Yes. So I'm sorry that you got burned so badly in that experience, but that was most likely for the primaries. If it wasn't, then it was right out and out wrong.
Please go back and vote. Mm-hmm.
Please go back and vote, please. More after this on 720 WGN. Tell me something good. What's making you happy? We'll have a couple minutes left for that. Tell me something good. What's making you happy tonight, Andrea?
Oh, my something good has to be Witch.
That was so good.
We had such a wonderful time. Thanks to all our listeners for coming out there. I so enjoyed just, you know, seeing a play with you, Patty, hanging out.
We
had a
great, nice
reception. We got a tour of this wonderful, wonderful theater, the Writers Theater. I highly encourage everyone to go out and see this beautiful building, four theaters within. It's designed by Gene Gang, and I can't say enough about the acting with regard to Witch. It was so good, and I'm not just saying that. We're not told to say anything. I enjoyed it. Just the acting, the ambiance, the set, the artistic director, Michael, that we're going to have everybody in.
Yes.
But I just had such a wonderful night. So Witch is my happy place tonight.
Congratulations to the entire cast of Witch on their opening night. Congratulations to the writer, the director, everyone at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. We look forward to coming back and to having you all in studio. We've got to take a break here. More after this on 720 WGN.